My name is Desiree Mondesir, and this is the Desiree Show, where we talk about the three L's, life, love, and leadership. I am the author of Otherworldly, an in-depth study of fantastical beings, which is only available at DesireeMondesir.com. So I encourage you guys to go swing by the website, swing by the blog, and right now all of my digital resources, ebooks, and teleseminars and workshops are all on the 50% Rona sale. They're all half off for the time being, so you guys take advantage of that content while you're in quarantine. And I'm so excited today because we are finally continuing with our Apostles Unleashed series, and I have a guest for you. Today we have the General of Deliverance, Apostle Ivory Hopkins. So if you guys are listening along to this on Spotify or iTunes or Google Podcasts, however you're listening, please be sure to use the hashtag The Desiree Show. Welcome, Apostle.
God bless you, Desiree. It is so good to be on your show. I do follow you, and I see the work that you're doing in the Lord, and I want to tell you, I am excited myself about what God is doing with your life. One of my deepest heart's desire has been that the ministry of deliverance would be passed on, passed down, and through other deliverance warriors like yourself. So I just want to tell you, you are a answer to the prayer and heart's desire that I have to finish my course, teach balanced deliverance, and see another generation rise up and tear down the enemy's camp.
That just absolutely blesses my heart. It really does. I'm over here just cheesing. But thank you. Thank you so much. And you're such a wonderful example. I mean, the way you love your wife, Miss Evelyn, who holds you down, like, I just love it. And the way you just emphasize family, because so many people will emphasize their pulpit ministry over their first ministry, which is their marriage and their children and their grandkids and all that, you know, whatever their family looks like. So I just want to thank you for your example in all of these ways. It's such a blessing to the younger generation and the body of Christ. So thank you for that.
I will tell you this, woman of God. I actually believe in our foundation of our life, our marriage, Evelyn, and our marriage and ministry and everything is based upon the fact that God created Adam and Eve first, then the warfare came, then the confrontations came, but he created the family first. I had long saw down through the years a number of people who were anointed, I'll put it like that, fivefold ministry gifts, that were powerful in the pulpit but a miserable husband, a very powerful prophetic woman of God but a terrible wife, and I knew that there was a problem with that. And I also believe, like it says in the book of Peter, husband, love your wives, that your prayers be not hindered. So if I can find Evelyn and find a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord, if I love my wife as Christ loved the church, then I can go ahead and do the work of the church because it's founded upon balance, perspective of family and ministry. You know, since we've been in the ministry of deliverance for over 45 years, and it's even getting better. It's getting better all the time. So anyway, so I just wanted to share that. That's why you see such a strong balance in us with the family. The demons, the strongholds that we face, wants to destroy family. It goes for the seed. It goes for the generation. And the only way it can get a foothold in good is to disrupt, redefine, and try to destroy what family is.
That is so good. And I want to touch on that. But before we circle right back to that, I do want you to tell the people about you and your ministry real quick.
Okay. Well, my church is in Georgetown, Delaware. I'm from the little state of Delaware. And it was founded in 1983. I was already in deliverance before we founded our headquarters church, the building, the homeland location. But I was called in the ministry of deliverance in the end of 78, 79, and what have you, and we've been continuing right on. Actually, the calling that was on my life was prophesied by my mother. My mother is a seer. I am a third-generational seer as far as using the prophetic gifts that we operate under. And my mother prophesied to me at 17 that she saw me ministering and bringing deliverance to thousands of people all over the world. And at 17 years old, I thought, Ma, you got to be kidding, please. I go to a little church in the backwoods of Lincoln, Delaware, and you mean you're telling me I'm going to be preaching to all races of people? My mom is 91 years old now, and every Monday I go to see my mother. I am a mama's boy. I take care of my mother. I look out for my mom. But my mom is so proud of the grace, of the humility, and of the honor that God has gotten out of our life by us submitting to him. So that's where we started out from. A lot of people don't even know the credentials that I have. I hold a master's degree in theology. I have also a bachelor's degree and also a doctorate. I'm also chancellor of Rapha Deliverance University, which was founded in Phoenix, Arizona, by Dr. Jackie Green. So it's a lot of facets to the work that we do to get deliverance out. And Sister Desiree, woman of God, you've heard my motto before because you followed me for a number of years. I have one clear-cut agenda, that is to preach balanced deliverance across the nation.
And boy, do you. And I love it because, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like there was a generation that came before you that did teach deliverance, but it was a lot of having to eat the fish and spit out the bones when it came to maybe certain legalistic mindsets or just things that now you don't really hear anymore when deliverance is taught. And you really can see the clear balance in your ministry. And I think in a lot of ministries that glean from you, like, and I feel like you're just such, like, people toss around that name, that title general, you know, and you really are an actual general, like general. I feel like generals go to you when they need deliverance, you know. And so have you noticed that there has been a transition between maybe the generation that came before you and the generation that you are a part of?
You know, you could not have brought me into, segued me into explaining how I ended up with the very motto of preaching balanced deliverance across the nation. In my younger years, here I was 19 years old, I'm sitting listening to powerful teachers like Wynn Worley from out of Highland, Indiana. I was listening to Bob Mumford, another general, another teacher of deliverance. Derek Prince was one of my favorites. I was so honored, as you well know, that I did a documentary with Derek Prince Ministry not too long ago, and I was so honored. Mm-hmm. But I cut my teeth on Derek Prince, Wynn Worley, Frank and Anna Mae Hammond, many of those early strong warriors of deliverance. But I was brought up in church under a great deal of what I call a study of the scriptures. In other words, don't just tell me the demons do this, the demons do that. Could you please show me in the Bible why you're saying that? Could you please? Because the teaching I was setting into a woman of God made me feel like, and the teachers almost sound like this in their presentation, and I believe it was their presentation. They would almost sound like, if you do this, you're gonna get a curse. If you do this, you're gonna open up the door, and your family line is gonna be cursed. And they would make it sound guaranteed. And everyone would come up for deliverance, and they would act like it was a shame because they didn't have what the teaching said. And I began to set back, being a student of the Word, being one that did a lot of examining and study and research. I was raised up on foundational gospel teaching. I was raised up on when I say the true faith in God, not just what you can get, but what faith means, breaking it down. I cut my teeth on all of that. I cut my teeth on the gifts of the Spirit. I cut my teeth on the foundation of a believer's walk. Hebrews chapter 6, faith towards God, repentance from dead works, resurrection of the dead. So I had that foundational from a seminary type of study. So when I started listening at people teach deliverance, I said to myself, I said, you know what? I'm not doing it that way. I am going to go in the Bible and examine and find out what scriptures back up the experience that they had. And I've been doing that all of my life, and that's how come our style of teaching has started affecting many. And there's a generation now, y'all are awesome. Y'all dig, y'all research, y'all got that question back in your mind. Why? Why, you know, you say that such and such a thing happened, can you show me that in the Bible? I love it. And these are you are the ones that have been inspired by me. I used to get in trouble with the old school deliverance when I would talk about deliverance and counseling. Because here goes what they would throw out. And I want you to hear the way I'm saying this, woman of God.
Okay.
You can't counsel a demon out. I get it. You cannot counsel a demon out. You cast demons out. And therefore, counseling is of the world. And you don't need that. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, if you're talking about New Age psychobabble, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We don't need that. If that's what you're talking about, no. Past life regression, no. You know, that type of thing, no. We don't need that New Age stuff. But when I talked about counsel, I'm talking about talking to the person, listening to the Holy Spirit, using sound wisdom to find the root cause of a problem. It's not enough to cast out a spirit of rejection. You've got to be able to uproot the gateway, the door, the wound, the scar in the person's life that gives that spirit access in life. You know, I have a saying, you don't do what you do because you got a demon. You often get demons because of what you're doing.
And so that's true.
That statement that I make, here goes the counterpart to it. I realize that there are such a things as generational curses. You and I have them in our family line. Through the redemptive work of Christ in our life, Christ has redeemed us, Galatians 3:13, from the curse of the law. He has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. If we, any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have perichomia, passed away, and all things have become new. Now, that is ever so true. So those are generational curses. We did nothing to open that door. But there are certain strongholds that come in, the demons gain access by the things we are doing. And it don't just jump in the first time you sin. God help us if they did.
For real.
The first wall of defense is put to death the deeds in the flesh. Got that? Dearly, dearly beloved, having these great and precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness unto God. So the first warfare that we got to deal with is not the demons and devils. It's the kingdom of carnality. It's the kingdom of self. But if you don't crucify it, if you don't put it to death, Satan will send in a spirit that will operate under the name of the action that you're captured by.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I tell you what, there is an incident in the Bible, and I'm going to share this with you if you don't mind. In the book of Kings, God was saying, who shall go up? I think it's 1 Kings chapter 18, if I remember. God said, who shall go up and cause Ahab to fall? One spirit went telling him this, and another spirit came before the throne. And all of a sudden, a spirit comes up and said, I will go and cause Ahab to fall. And in that chapter it says, wherewith shall you go and cause Ahab to fall? And that meant, by what means, what are you going to do to cause Ahab to fall?
Right.
Now watch this, woman of God. That spirit says, I will become, or I will be, a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Now here goes the unique thing in that, is this, and I found this out in Deliverance. That spirit was not always a lying spirit. The lying spirit, the method it used was, or we might say the ministry that it used to destroy him was lies. So before it was just a spirit. To tell you truthfully, in this revelation I'm talking about, do you know that the demons that are calling themselves by modern day names, if you would deal with them in Babylon, or in another century, they would possibly have used another name.
Wow.
So when that spirit said, I will be, it means I will become a lying spirit. Mm-hmm. That didn't mean it always was. Now, that some people in Deliverance or some people that study spiritual warfare, I didn't run into that. I ran into that when I started casting demons out, and I've had demons say specifically, at one time, I operated in a certain realm, and I'm in this person now by this. And I said, wait a minute, but you are a such-and-such demon. And that demon says, I have not always been that. But in this era of time, that's the way I'm operating. That's Wynne Worley and them and their deliverances. If you read some of his early writings, they would get demons that was actually the demon would be cornered and the demon would cry out the stuff it used to do. And that was before the time period that they were casting him out in their modern day.
Wow. So would it be like a reassignment according to the spirit of that particular age?
You absolutely got it. You absolutely got it. Let me put it to you like this. I once heard a writing denouncing us using the term Jezebel. And some of the people were going at each other. I didn't get into the argument because I understood that that spirit called Jezebel, that we call Jezebel, could also be called female domination and control, manipulation and control in witchcraft. It did not necessarily have to use that particular name. But in a certain period of time, that spirit of Jezebel, because it was understood and known by the church of that characteristic in a female that is bound, that's what it went by. Just like if you would deal with the son of Belial, the word Belial actually means a worthless man. It says Nabal was such a worthless man that no man could tell him anything. I have cast demons out of men that they had a Belial spirit in them, but the demon in them went by obstinance. It went by iron will. I actually ministered to a worldwide professional. I'm not going to name what profession this man was in. And when I ministered to him and his family for 3 days on a weekend, the demon I encountered in him was an iron will. It was like Nabal. Nobody could tell him nothing. And it literally was destroying his marriage. That demon was destroying his marriage. Now, I could have went after it as a spirit of Belial, and it would have still been cast out. But I came after it as the iron will, stubbornness, the inability to be told anything, and that ended up costing him his marriage.
Wow.
So it's not whether a spirit could be called Jezebel, because remember, Jezebel is a manifestation of a characteristic. That's really what you're dealing with. Okay. But anyway.
I mean, cool, then we're barely into this interview, and I'm absolutely loving it. I have so many questions. Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. I'm so bringing you back again. But
got it. You got it.
Yes. So earlier, when we were talking about the balance in your family and how you were saying that was sort of key, I guess, to keeping the demonic at bay. You know, it sort of it made me think because my second most recent book is The Little Book of Warfare, and it actually stemmed from a blog post I have called The Law of Territorial Spirits, which I think is chapter 4 in the book. And basically the premise of that chapter is the cry of the demon, not to be confused with the fallen angel, but a demon, is send us not from the region, whether that is the region of your body, the region of your household or your family, or the region, like an actual territory. So can you talk about maybe spirits that are assigned to households and families?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You heard me talk about, I said about in the book of Peter, husband of your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. In one of the books that I wrote called Deliverance from Marriage-Breaking Spirits and what have you, I was dealing with a section in it called the hardness of heart in marriage. Now, Moses, when he dealt with it in the natural realm, the men would be married to the women, and at a certain point, whatever displeased them, it could be trivial, really, when you begin to study it out in the history of the Old Testament. But they would leave their wives for almost any cause. Age, just, you know, it was ridiculous. I encountered spiritual strongholds wherein husband would actually be more or less abusive under the realm of domestic violence. And when I would pray and minister to healing to get these things broken, when they would submit. And by the way, they have to submit to the order of God. The Bible teaches clearly that as a husband, I am to love Evelyn as Christ loved the church. Marriage and relationship is a natural prototype of the spiritual design that God has for Christ and his church. He gave himself for it.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the scripture, husband, love your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. When people talk to me, a woman of God, about headship, it does not translate to me who's the boss. Matter of fact, me and Evelyn have a joke that we use, and you've seen it on Facebook. The boss said this or that. That is my affectionate
right.
way. And what some people may or may not know, that is my affectionate way of saying my time after I have been all over the country praying for everybody else all over the world doing these big-time conferences, when I come home to make my wife feel secure, to make her feel like she is the most important thing on the planet, I shut myself down from everybody. Facebook, FaceTime, everybody, and I spend time with her. And I found that has strengthened our marriage. But getting back to what I was originally saying, when I look at headship, I look at it as protection and honor. When I look at submission, me and Evelyn submit one towards another. And that submission is I surrender to the blessing and the grace that God has given in her that complements me. Are you getting me, sis?
I am.
So there is ability. I mean, I know that I know that because of I'm a warrior, I'm a straight-up guerrilla warrior. Therefore, what I believe I'm strong in. But I need what's in Evelyn to actually put the sometimes the balance even in me so that I won't just be so tenacious with my authority that I disregard her authority, what God has given in her that compensates me. Now, what does that have to do with deliverance? Demons understand order, and they understand honor.
There are homes.
There are pastoral homes, fivefold ministry homes, that the preachers are awesome in the pulpit, but lousy husbands and lousy wives. Not honoring each other. And if you have ever in your life seen two couples that are married and one is jealous of the other's gift, it is abominable. Because what will operate in that house is a spirit of division and sabotage. Woman of God, I don't want to just take this question and go on and on with it, but there's something I really would love for you to let me share right now.
Go ahead.
Years ago, I had a pastor and his wife, one was the prophetess and a pastor, a couple that was under my ministry and under my covering. When I took them under my covering, I started noticing that the husband had an extreme jealousy over the wife, not for her running out with another man. This woman of God was powerful. Another man, forget that. The only other man she'd interested in was Jesus. But he was jealous of the gift in her. So this actually happened. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going like, brother, we need to minister to them. I would minister to them in the area of this. And I kept telling them, I said, God has given her a grace and you have a grace. And brother, you're going to have to honor it and embrace it. She comes to do a revival for us in Delaware. By the Friday night, Saturday night, she sits down. She does Friday night. Saturday night, we come by my house. At this particular time, me and Evelyn had in our bedroom a large jacuzzi that you could sit on the step of it and literally talk. So she's down the room with us just chatting, and she says to me, she said, because her husband had kept calling her and calling her and calling her, but it was some extreme jealousy of the fact of what she was doing. Now, with me, he didn't act like that with me, but with her, he did.
Yeah.
And she said these words to me. I'm not going to say his name. I almost said his name. I'm going to use Sam, a fictitious name.
Okay.
She says, Sam's going to kill me. I said, what did you just say? She said, Sam's going to kill me, Bishop. I said, sis. And when the way she said it, my heart sunk. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, look, if you need me to talk with him, if you need us to help you not go back and we try to intervene, I would do it, sis. I said, please, just tell me. She said, I'm going to be all right. I got to go back for my babies. And I'm going like, sis, that Sunday, she ministered that Sunday, went back home to the Carolinas. I receive a call that that next Sunday morning, and it's this child. And he said, "Is this Bishop Hopkins?" I said, "Yes, it is." Mm-hmm. I said, "What is up?" He said, and he told me their name. He said, "I just called to tell you my dad killed my mom. He stabbed her to death."
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, what? That spirit of jealousy and envy. Now, I'm not saying to everyone listening to this broadcast that just because you or your husband is jealous of the gift of another, you're going to kill each other. But I maintain to tell you, I actually am a living witness of a prophetess getting stabbed to death because she went back to that jealousy and to that envy. Now, I ain't trying to stir nobody's divorce either.
Ooh,
I'm just trying
Jesus.
To tell you the power of a spirit when the love that a husband and wife is supposed to have for each other, if that is corrupted or perverted, it can turn into a real twisted situation. This actually happened. This actually happened. Now, at her funeral was powerful. People got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of that. God moved. Woman of God, about a few months later, I get a call from the prison, and the prison said he called and he wanted to see me. And when I went there, I must tell you the truth, I was conflicted. I was like, this man done killed this woman like this, and he wants to talk to me, and the Spirit of God in my life said, go. And when I went to talk to him, I said to him, why did you call me? I said, what was it that made you think you could call me? And he said, I know what I did was evil. He said, but I knew you would still love my soul.
Wow.
It was the most.
Oof.
But I'm going to tell you what it did to me.
What
woman of God, I'm going to tell you what it did to me. It made me realize that when you're dealing with some demons in marriages and in families, when you're dealing with domestic violence and the anger and the hate that those spirits can operate in, when you're dealing with abuse that goes beyond verbal abuse to physical abuse, to spousal abuse, when you're dealing with those strongholds, you can't play with those demons. Either the person has to get delivered or you have to deliver yourself out of it. That's how wicked this realm can get. We actually experience that. Now, once again, I'm not on your show trying to set people up for divorce and all of that. I'm trying to tell you that that demon destroyed two lives. The family was more important than anything. The family was first place. But because the husband did not operate under the godly realm of what the home and family means, what operated over his home and family was a spirit of jealousy, and it was in the realm of ministry. This woman actually was attacked because of the calling on her life. Now, you say, well, why didn't God protect her? When I asked her to let me go, let me intervene, it's possible right there it was the Holy Spirit trying to confront him. He would have never done anything to me.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I hope I'm not taking it in a whole other direction of what we were talking
about. No, they need to hear it. This is Apostles Unleashed. You can say whatever you want to say.
So. But what I found that there are strongholds, and I've seen it in ministry. Every now and then, I see it in ministry. Spirits of jealousy, spirits of envy. Whole churches ran by people who should not actually be the pastor. The other one should be. But because of a spirit of pride, because of the territorial strongholds that has a hatred of women or hatred of females in authority of any level, because I maintain to tell you this, woman of God, if God anoints you, I'll put it like this. Dr. Jackie Green is the founder of Rapid Deliverance University. She is the key point founder. I am co-chancellor, co-founder with her. And I have no problem, no insecurity whatsoever of the Holy Ghost in her building the work that we both are working in. Not one problem. But you have to be delivered and free to be able to minister under covering. And that's how spirits begin to build territorial strongholds. Whole denominations have been captured by demons that neglect or cut out certain parts of ministry because that demon is operating over it. Now, that's a powerful territorial spirit. When you get, and I'm not going to, well, when you get a denominational or an apostolic or a prophetic demon that is operating over them, limiting, controlling, and binding people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a woman of God, I'll tell you this. I have encountered, if you want to talk a bit about a modern-day stronghold that I've encountered in counseling, you know, I do Skype deliverance, and, I do deliverance sessions, right?
Right.
In the last 2 years, I have encountered a demonic stronghold, and guess what? How the Spirit operates in ministries. It gets gifted people and entrepreneurs, and this Spirit actually claims their gift as theirs to such a degree that if you leave, they curse you.
Yeah.
If you dare to take the gift that God gave you, that belongs to you for the building of the kingdom of God, and mm-hmm. no bishop, no pastor owns your gift. Your gift is a part of the work. Your gift can compensate the work, but all souls belong to Christ. And I have encountered damage through entrepreneurs that have attached themselves to these gift snatchers, soul hunters.
Wow.
Are you hearing me?
Wow.
If you don't pick it up, write it first. I say, go for it, girl, go for it. But I have had these soul hunters, these gift snatchers, actually, when the person leaves, and I'm talking about strong entrepreneur, highly educated people, in their own right, they've got a gift and a grace, and when they leave these ministries because of the control, manipulation, and abuse, the witchcraft is phenomenal that has to be broken off of them. Because the motive by which that ministry is trying to adapt gifts is basically connected to witchcraft.
Yes. That's so fascinating because you know a little bit about my own more recent past coming out of a controlling ministry. We not going to name any names here, but it was so fascinating because there was such a spirit of fear that came on me in just the short time that I joined that particular aspect of their ministry. And when I came out, I really had to renounce, like, because they didn't ordain me or they didn't really they barely prophesied over me, to be honest, but they didn't really activate any gifts in me, so to speak. So I didn't have to really deal with that like others did. But there were still prophetic words in sort of things that I had come in agreement. And so one of the things was there was a prophet who prophesied about the husband in that couple in ministry, saying that there's prosperity in the presence of so-and-so. And I believed that word since the first time I heard it. And so I had to break the soul tie with that word, that my prosperity is tied to this ministry, and that my promotion or my elevation or anything, my destiny is tied to this ministry. And maybe once upon a time it was, but we gone now.
Now, being a student of the word, now here goes the part when I talk about balanced deliverance and balanced teaching can dismantle these demons' network. It might they usually build this type of ideology off of buzzwords, off of buzzwords that don't balance out in Scripture. Now, I am an overseer of different churches across the country. Many ministers have been ordained and all that, but not a single one of them belong to me. And guess what? I had the pleasure of being able to mentor, strengthen, or enhance what God had already stirred with or without me. Mm-hmm. The moment that it leaves Christ in you, the hope of glory, and then I have to attach to Ivory Hopkins or I won't have a deliverance ministry, it becomes corrupt. It becomes perverted and an open gate to spirits of deception, manipulation, and control. In the 40-some years I've been in deliverance, I've actually steered away from even certain deliverance camps because I saw in my young years a network of deliverance ministers that if they did not validate you in their own mind, they would either blackball you or say you're not really doing deliverance. And I know that that is based, now hear what I'm saying, woman of God, that is based upon the same pride that the disciples had when they went to Jesus and they said, Lord, I think this is Luke 9 maybe. I think it's Luke 9 or what have you. But it says, Lord, we saw one casting out devils in your name, but we forbid him because he followed not us. Now, here goes the amazing thing. They didn't give a doggone whether anybody got delivered. It didn't matter. They didn't care whether a yoke got broken or a devil got pulled down. The only thing that the disciples were concerned with was they didn't follow us. And Jesus turns around and says, hey, no. No man can do these miracles except God be with them. Do not do this. I forbid him not. Do you hear me? And if you would look at earlier scriptures before that particular chapter, the disciples were arguing among themselves who were the greatest. I believe the Tower of Babel, I believe that spirit of Babylon and self-importance that was back in the very early days. See, demons often, the nature of demons only repeat themselves with new names. It's the same game, new name. In Babylon, in Nimrod, the mighty hunter, that was one of the things that he was called in the Antiquities. Yeah. He was called the mighty hunter. One translator called him the mighty hunter of the souls of men. That's what they called Nimrod. And what Nimrod said was, let us make a name for ourselves, whether it be a ministry, whether it be a church or a parachurch ministry. When you start making a name for you, that's when you start shifting, where you start shifting where Jesus' name is not exalted. And then you start doing stuff. You start operating in ways to make your name great, and you may not even know it. Many ministries that you have known and we have known did not start out bad. They ended up that way when Christ got out of the focus of it all.
Wow. And it's funny because even as you use the Tower of Babel as an example, I'm thinking Absalom built a monument in his name.
Come on, now.
I'm thinking Herod, you know, the temple, they called it Herod's Temple.
Herod's Temple, like, exactly.
And they all had this Jezebelic spirit, you know, in a different, you know, in a non-classical form, because it's not a woman necessarily. We know that's not a spirit that only pertains to women. But, I mean, these men built these monuments unto themselves.
Exactly. And the thing is, the Lord makes a statement, I believe it's in Exodus and what have you. He says that God is a jealous God, and he won't share his glory with anyone. I remember my son grew up watching me become more and more well-known. And and one day I was sitting talking to him. He was like maybe 24 years old. And he was telling me, you know, Pop, he said, I really love what God is doing with your life and yada, yada. And he said, oh, Pop, you know one thing you told me, Pop? I said, what is that, son? He said, you told me God will never share his glory with anyone, Pop. He said, keep your head centered, Pop. Keep your head centered. And that's what it really comes down to. Keep your head centered. The Lord is not going to share his glory with anyone. Just maybe, even during this coronavirus, which is from the pit of hell, I'm not even going to get into speculation so much because that's not really our subject. But maybe during this time when the church has to reexamine its place, when the church has to reexamine the new norm, just maybe God will show some of us that I want you to get back to my original plan. And it wasn't a building. Mm-hmm. It was a person. You are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not putting down the fact that we have edifices, and thank God for them. Thank God for the meeting house. Thank God for that. That's not what I'm putting down. But maybe our systems are being shaken. Just maybe.
Absolutely.
Some of the same. Listen, if you're going through bishop withdrawal, apostle withdrawal, just maybe it's good that you come off the drug right now and actually get hooked on Jesus, because he never left. Actually, hey, sis, I've never stopped having church. Brother Hopkins, you mean your meeting and Lord's gatherings like they're talking about? No. I never stopped having church because I am the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a place I go to. It's who I am. And upon
That's
this
good.
Rock called Jesus, he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But that mm-hmm. spirit of manipulation and control operating in a ministry, came in people's gifts, came in people's lives, it's demonic. And these spirits mm-hmm. are operating the same way they did in heaven. In heaven, yeah. when they had the great fall, the enemy's conversation, the words he spoke to one-third of the angels, was so convincing mm-hmm. that the angels thought, I better join this ministry. I better join it.
Yeah.
And notice, Satan built up such a rap. He built up such a message that angels who looked in the face of God were deceived to join him and left God. Now, the question be, even to your listeners, make sure when you join something, you're not joining something that takes you away from God, but brings you to God. At the end of the day, the Lord, he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
I love it. We do
your questions,
not have
you got me fired up in here. I will come back again another time. Go ahead with some more of your questions.
Right, for part two and a part three and a part five. And, Lord Jesus. So let's switch gears a little bit. There's so much I want to ask. I'm like having to restrain myself. Let's switch gears and talk about how did you get called into the apostolic specifically, and how do the apostolic and deliverance work together?
Okay. How I got called into the apostolic, I have been most of my life as a child and what have you, as far as the mm-hmm. gifts of the Spirit, I may sound a little funny with what I'm about to say, but I mm-hmm. have never prayed for any gift that I operate in as far as to have it. I've never okay. fasted to have it. I recognized it and I lived it. I mm-hmm. saw visions and angels and saw demonic activity as from a child up. I was raised mm-hmm. a little AME Baptist Pentecostal brother in the Lord. All of those mm-hmm. had threads in my life. I was raised up in church as a small kid, but an odd thing mm-hmm. was happening. I was having visions, dreams, hearing from the Lord, and did not understand mm-hmm. the name of it. I've mm-hmm. seen visions of Jesus. I've seen the throne room more than one time. In 2003, when the Lord saved me from healed me from colon cancer, I saw mm-hmm. that an angel appear and literally talk to me. And in mm-hmm. another period of time in my life, the angel of the Lord spoke to me, and after I had got an understanding of the apostolic, I was with Apostle John Eckhart when God introduced mm-hmm. him to the apostolic. He is my buddy and friend still today. I was actually a constant teacher at Crusaders. Matter of fact, many of them in Crusaders ministry still today call me Uncle Ivory.
I love it.
So I did not know the name of why I was operating in these gifts the way I was. But when the Lord is, I am straight up busting devils, operating in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, operating in dreams and visions, and I just thought all I think I called it was the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a category. I didn't have a department to put it in because it wasn't, in our understanding, the apostles had all died in the second century church.
Okay.
So all the apostles were dead. So if you said you was an apostle in our own mind at that time, because we didn't understand the revelation of the apostolic and the revelation of the prophetic that it is still here today, that it is still about it, the apostle being a sent one, we had no name for it. So at the same time, I will actually accredit to Apostle John Eckhart for helping to define the name of what was in me. But not only did he define the name of what was in me, when the Lord shifted him to Apostle Eckhart, teaching and bringing the apostolic, the Lord in a vision told me, I had called God up. At this time, you're going to love this. I got to put this in here. So it was through Apostle Eckhart. At the very beginning, when this stuff first started, I learned that I was operating in as an apostle. Apostle Eckhart mm-hmm. himself was one who laid hands on me for the apostolic mm-hmm. grace. Apostle John started building the apostolic network he was building. In Delaware, because I had learned from Apostle Eckhart the same type of paradigm, I was building an apostolic network in Delaware. Now, wait a minute, woman God, you're going to love this.
Okay.
Now, remember, the word general of deliverance was never spoke by anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. I am in Kansas. I was in the hospital at the time when I saw this angel after I had went through an operation for colon cancer. The third day of that operation, now me and Evelyn, I had preached at Apostle Eckhart's that Wednesday, drove to Kansas to my brother, who was a command sergeant major in Fort Riley, and I collapsed at his door and ends up in the hospital, having to go through immediate surgery for colon cancer in my body. The Lord turns around and tells me that you're not going to die, I'm bringing you out. So I go in, get the operation, I'm in recovery, and the third night, all of a sudden, a light, a figure, an embodied figure, like a man or a being, shows up beside my bed. I look at it, and I think to myself, oh, Lord. Now, remember, although the Lord told me you're not going to die of cancer, I looked at that thing, I said, oh, no. I said, are you getting ready to take me home? And angelic figure looked at me and smiled with such grace. And here was the amazing part. When I said, am I getting ready to die, it literally acted as if it chuckled at me. It didn't laugh like we do, but it looked at me and said, oh, you silly little boy. You silly thing.
I love it.
I said, no, you're not getting ready to die. I said, well, what is going on? And it said to me in a clear angelic voice, he said, you have been sidetracked from your original calling. I said, what? I've lost my ministry? And once again, it looks at me and smiles as if, why are you going this way with everything I'm saying? I said, what? Now, mind you, I'm having a conversation with this angelic being, majestic being. I could look in his face, but I could see the figure of a face, but I could not. It was just, I can't explain it, but it was so brilliant. It was so bright, but yet my eyes could see, but yet not see. I don't know how to, do you get what I'm saying? So, I've got to finish this. Now, this is all about the general of deliverance. So I said, I've been sidetracked, and he said to me, he said, I never called you to build a network. I said, what?
You're about to get in trouble, Apostle.
No, wait a minute. Well, you got to hear this. Got to hear this, sis. He said, you have been successfully sidetracked from what I desire to do with your calling in life. I said, wait a minute. What I'm doing in Delaware is growing. It's growing across the country. And he said, you have been successfully sidetracked. He said, for behold, I have called you as a general of deliverance. For I will tell you of an assurity that many deliverance soldiers that are planted in churches, unrecognized, in holes, in small places, people that are in obscure places, the word that I shall put in you, you will lead them as a general. The teaching that shall come out of you, the writing that shall come out of you, you shall do that as a general and raise up this army. They will not follow you. They will follow me. Then I shall take you home, and your mission will be done. And then it went. It disappeared. I told Evelyn what happened, and she was like, I said, Evelyn, I called home to my closest network of prayers, well, men and women of God that really pray over me and really balance what I think I'm hearing from the Lord. Because I really just don't trust everything just because it's real, dynamic.
Right.
And I told them, I said to all of my network, I said, listen, I've got to seek God because I really believe that God is trying to shift me into what I'm actually supposed to be doing. And I said, guys, sisters, brothers, I can't continue this network. And they prayed. I said, all I want you to do is pray with me and get back with me. So I was in Kansas for like a month. They all called me back and said, Apostle, we're going to still fellowship and we're going to still do stuff we're doing, but Apostle, I declare, we're witnessing the same thing. So I said, listen, guys, I am coming off of trying to build that apostolic network, and I have to go as a general and establish God's army. From there, the General of Deliverance, that's how that name came, through an angelic vision. Now, if it was a deception, it is the greatest deception that's turned demons up now for the last 30-some years. The power and anointing that I walk under changed. My teaching became more profound and dominant. The balance that I teach with, the tremendous doors. Right now, woman of God, I'm living in a place ministry-wise where I have no need of spoil. I am not financially running after anything. I'm totally focused on writing, teaching, mentoring, delivering. I want no one to think that I want no one trying to chase behind me. That's not how I mentor. I mentor through my teachings, my YouTubes, my writings, my wisdom. And there have been many all over the world. I saw one Spanish brother that I met in one state. The boy was bad. I mean, he was kicking me. And he was so happy to meet me. He said, oh, my God, I just cannot meet. I'm looking at him going like, brother. And I said to him, I said, bro, I said, you were tying them demons up. I said, where did you learn that from? He said, you, man. He said, my church has been listening to your teaching for 5 years, and we used the same style that you taught. I said, and they're better. Y'all are better. Mm. Y'all are better presenting what I'm doing. Y'all have taken where I have brought y'all, and y'all have gone to another level. Even looking at your writings, you're writing in a different depth, in a different level, and I ain't mad. Mm. Because as a general, I've ignited guerrilla warriors, male and female, who are off the chain. So I walk, Apostle John helped me define myself as an apostle. The angelic calling of the Lord defined to me what kind I am. And the fruit and the proof of it is in my labor. I don't have to tell anyone what I am. I'll prove it by what I walk in. That's just the way it is. Not bragging, but I believe in the calling that God has given me. Because my sister Desiree, I planned to mentor, to release into the next generation. Even God told me this. We had almost 800 video messages and teachings. The Holy Spirit, we were actually selling them DVDs online. The Holy Spirit said, take them down, take them off, and put every single one of them out there for nothing. And God is raising up people all over the world, all over the world. Even in my deliverance and training and counseling sessions, they are not just people calling up for deliverance from demons. There are people calling up for the wisdom that we have. There are people calling up for family issues and warfare with that. Even that, do you know we're 3 weeks deep in that? We are 3 weeks deep into just that alone. Show after show. I told you, you have favor with me. We're glad to come on your show anytime we can. But we've had show after show, iHeartRadio, all of them ask after me, shows in other nations and other countries coming after me, and I only have one clear-cut agenda, one agenda, to preach balance, deliverance, and then go home. I don't need another home. I care nothing about another car. I need no bling. All I need to do is to be available and ready when God says, go on the show, do the service. Even right now, I will say this, I'm not even worried about conferences. Not concerned. I either do them by the grace of God, if that's what he's doing, or do without them. I got work to do, and I'm busy.
Yeah.
So that's how the General of Deliverance came. That's how I learned about the apostolic. It was through my friend, Apostle John, who taught many of us in America what the apostolic was. And it ignited that in me. And God helped him and his ministry help me define not only that I am an apostle, but truly the signs of an apostle are wrought in my life with miracles, signs, and mighty deeds. God's doing it, not boasting. I say this humbly. But God is the one that called me the general of deliverance. The heavenly calling called me that. And as a general, we are rallied an army. And here goes the unique thing. They're not rallying around me. You can't find my army coming under my one building. I don't know them. They're bad. I hear them casting out demons, and they followed not us. And I'm glad.
Yeah. That's so good. So good. Oh, not enough time. Okay. I would like you to take the next 2 minutes. And if you have anything on your heart that the Lord gives you for me or for my millennial generation, please unleash it in the next 2 minutes.
I would like to speak to the millennial generation from my heart as an old school warrior. I ask y'all to be patient with the former generation, for it will fight the new. That has been the norm with any move of God. But stay firmly still and strong towards what God is giving you. Because you see, there is a generation and a nation that y'all will reach. The avenues and the ways will be unconventional. You new generation of soldiers, you are moving in an unconventional way. Your song and sound will be different than mine. Your presentation will hit other doors. Who would dream that we would be doing Skypes and doing all kinds of things through the internet and what have you? Who thought we would do that? Who thought that God would move in the many different facets? Yeah, I could use the term the mountains, but who would believe that God would be moving in the entrepreneur areas and in the parachurch areas as strong as he is? I tell you this, next generation, you young warriors, you tenacious soldiers, I tell you that y'all will reach things, you will have a strange feeling on you, and you're not in rebellion, but you will find that the comfortable four walls will not be what pleases y'all. An edifice will not be what moves y'all. What's going to move y'all is lives and souls. And God is going to take the enemy who thinks he's got the airway sold up. Y'all are going to use it and ride him straight to hell and drive him right out. God is going to ignite in y'all a deeper understanding of the things that we that were before you. We pioneers actually opened the trees, knocked down the gates, and made a path. But it was your generation that's going to build. And y'all going to build things in the kingdom. So I want to just encourage y'all, you soldiers and stuff, learn deliverance. Let God expose. Let God show you the hidden things that some of us older ones don't know. I'll be reading y'all's books. I'll be listening at y'all's messages. I'll be sitting at your foot because guess what? Wisdom is never afraid when wisdom is spoken in the voice of another. It can celebrate. It can embrace and still feel comfortable. I honor the grace in you. I pray in the name of Jesus that these new end time warriors, be it male, be it female, whatever fivefold level of deliverance mantle that is upon y'all's life, I, as a general of deliverance, bless y'all. I speak strength to y'all. I speak growth to y'all. I speak revelation to y'all in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for this honor to speak to this generation. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for having us on. And we'll gladly come back again another time.
It is my absolute pleasure. Thank you, thank you. And I receive that on behalf of myself and my generation. I'm going to be a little bit selfish and receive
all right
it for
now.
Myself. But thank you, thank you. And let us know very quickly where we can get in contact with you, your website right. and social media and all that.
Absolutely. If you need to get in contact with us on our website, we are pilgrimsministry.org. That's pilgrimsministry.org. That's pilgrimsministry.org. When you go on the site, you will find sections that deals with the books that we have, the books and manuals that we have written. You can get that on that website. Also, those that want deliverance counseling, deliverance and counseling sessions, it tells you how to sign up and what have you. It is a 45-minute detail session. And I want to tell y'all, on those deliverance and counseling sessions, people have been getting some powerful deliverance. Also, not only do we do deliverance on those sessions, we also deal with ministry, marriage. I even have a number of pastors of churches, prophets and bishops and elders who confer with us to run by things that I have. At one time, woman of God, I was a sectional presbyter of over 500 ministries under the Pentecostal Church of God. So I've been in church administration on a high level. I mean, a lot of times I talk about me being this country boy from Delaware, a little over Delaware, but I actually worked on a very powerful level for the Pentecostal Church of God, and I was over five states, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and New Jersey. And there was over 500 preachers that I actually sat on a board working with the establishment of their ministries. So we've been doing more than just casting out demons. We, like I said, we have degrees, but the demons are not cast out because we've been to seminary. They're cast out because we've been anointed at the bottom of the day. Amen? So
Amen.
If you are interested in that type of thing, our deliverance counseling sessions, go on pilgrimsministry.org. That's pilgrimsministry.org. You can find us there. We post heavily on Facebook with a lot of our wisdom keys and a lot of our messages. We also, you can find us at ivoryhopkins@vimeo.com. That's ivoryhopkins@vimeo.com. And also ivoryhopkins at YouTube, ivoryhopkinsyoutube.com. So you can go on YouTube, just type in the name Ivory Hopkins, and you will find us. And as I said once again, it has been a pleasure being with you. And I've had my eye on the writings that you've been doing, Desiree, Sister Desiree, Prophetess. I've had my eyes on the work that you've been doing long before you ever contacted me. I watched your writing. I watched some of the stuff you were doing, and I was very well pleased, and I was thanking God for it. And who would know that the Lord would ever hook us up to actually spend time together. I am so honored. God bless you now.
Thank you, and God bless you as well. And thank you to the listeners. Thank you for listening. Please connect with me. You can listen. You can download the Anchor app and listen to this episode and all of our other episodes. Follow on social media. Almost everything is, the website is DesireeAmondesir.com. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Facebook, and Periscope is at Desiree and Mondesir. Twitter is Desiree and Mondesir. Share this and favorite and subscribe, and you all be blessed.